Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Report, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Welcome to the 76th edition of the Worcester Report. This is Tony Coppell, and Lorianne will be on this show a little later. But first, yesterday I had the pleasure of talking to Anton Jansen von Rensburg. He was the founder and is the owner of Telephonics, that iconic music store, music instruments and electronics on Stockholmstrom Street. Stockholmstrom has become one of my favorite streets in Worcester, and I like wandering along it up and down into its interesting places, and this is certainly one of the most. We talked about the business, we talked about music in general, we talked about instruments, and I think you're going to enjoy hearing what Anton has to say on all these subjects. When Lorianne and I first arrived in Worcester, which is about nearly 20 months ago now, I remember driving up Stockholmstrom Street here and seeing a store called Telephonics, and that got my interest because I'm interested in electronic stores, music and so on. And I thought, hey, I'm home. There's a music store here. And it wasn't long before I was in here, and I bought several things at the time, including a microphone stand and one or two other things, which have all worked just fine. So today, I have the honor of speaking to the founder and the owner of Telephonics, Anton von Rensburg. And just by the way, his wife is sitting beside him, but she may or may not take part in this little chat we're having. So welcome to CWCP Radio, Anton.
Good morning, Tony. You're more than welcome.
And let's start off with really the most important thing. I love hearing about how businesses get started, where it came from in your mind, and the early stages right up to the present of Telephonics. Tell us the story.
Yes, Tony. I was born and raised in a musically inclined family. It was still part of my blood, but that was not the intention of the store. Because I was with Spoornet, it's a railway company, electronics was my passion. It started off in 1993 as a repair workshop for TVs. That was the reason for the name Telephonics, which at the end of the day it's got nothing to do with instruments. We've been thinking of changing the name, but it's 26 years now, so we really don't want to go that way. In any case, we started off with a small repair workshop. Rina was running the workshop during the day while I was still working, mostly with just tools, and we rented a place. I had a partner at that stage, which we were friends, so the friendship and the partnership lasted for about 6 months. And that was the end of our friendship, and it was the end of the partners. He didn't bring his part of the agreement to the table. We were supposed to work at night. He didn't have time for that. I was working at night, so we decided, no, that's not the right way to do it. So he went off on his own, and I bought him out his shares, and then Rina started with the idea. We had a supplier in Cape Town, I think it's Kobek Electronics, and we bought some electronic spares from them, And then we decided, she said, but let's buy some of his cheap, he had some guitars as well, cheap guitars and mouth organs, harmonicas and all that. So I was actually against it. I said, no, never has a music store in Worcester survived. It never did. It's too small, the community. And she kept on nagging and I said, okay, let's buy a few cheap guitars. So we bought a few guitars and it actually went well. And we started, as we started there, that was down in High Street, close to the Dosday School. Next to the old Masonic Motors, there was a small shop there. So we started with in this shop, I would say a year thereafter. And since then, so that's 25 years in Stockenstrom Street. That we have survived, and all the glory to the Lord. If it wasn't for him, I think he wouldn't have survived. Especially in today's economic climate, it's a battle, but it's still going strong.
Are you still having fun?
Yeah, no, it's I would say it's more fun than what I thought in the beginning. It was a difficult time when I had to work during the day at Spoornet and at night. I had to work in the shop. That was difficult times. But I do enjoy, you know, speaking to customers. But nowadays, I'm more into the admin side. And my son, Anton Jr., he's actually running the shop, all the customer side of it. And he's my general manager here. So, and he's also running the workshop. And he's good at it. I think he's a very, very determined technician, and is also playing a few notes, but it's not really a musician. My daughter, she's very good, also got a very good voice, but full-time mum, and with the two sons, there's no chance for a really instrument in her life. So yeah, that's basically it.
You've already answered my next question. I was going to ask you about Anton Jr. Because
yes.
He's the one I've actually had more dealings with. And I discovered that he can fix things that in my country, in Canada, they wouldn't even bother to try and fix.
That's a fact.
That is a fact.
He was the first guy that I met. He's also very, very good in computers.
Yeah.
I taught him all I know, and now he teaches me. So,
but
you know, that he actually was the first guy that I met that went through the process of repairing a motherboard. No one repairs a motherboard.
No.
It's not worthwhile fixing, but to him it's a challenge. He wants to get the faulty component and repair it. So he's good at that.
Yeah. Now you both have exactly the same name. Is that confusing for anybody?
No, not really. Yeah, I normally just make a joke about it and tell the customer, everyone, everything is the same, just the birth date are different and the cell numbers. he's in my generation, in our family, he's the bearer of the name of his grandfather. So hopefully there will be a small Anton in the future. So yeah, he was married on Monday. It was 2 years now.
Huh?
So yeah, still happily married.
Do you have a vision, maybe even a written down vision for Telephonics, something that inspires you?
Yeah, I would say we've got a vision and a mission statement which I completely forgot. So since I actually gave my heart to the Lord, really, and I was reborn, things changed that much. My son-in-law asks me that, what is my vision still for the future? I had a completely shift and the change of mind and heart. So I just want to get closer to him. I just want to be more and more like him. So yeah, and I believe that if you follow that, if you want to become more like Jesus, at the end of the day, everything just falls into place. It's just the way that you actually wanted it to. So for me, when I started off, it was money. It was not Jesus, it was money. I wanted to drive a new car, I wanted to have a nice house, you know, all the stuff that is not for Christians, I believe. You shouldn't, you can have it, but you shouldn't make that your vision. I don't think so. And out of that, we had a ministry also, just a praise and worship ministry. I was blessed with a heart. I say Jesus gave that to me, to just worship him, to just praise him all the time. And so many things has happened because of that, not because of preaching. Just praise and worship. So we've been very successful, I would say, with that. But now I'm also more retired in that sense. Like I told you, we've got another thing coming on the 29th of the November. So I'm just in a capacity where I help out where I'm needed. But as far as the workshop and Anton goes, he's really my right-hand man. I would not go on with the shop without him. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Yeah. I don't have that in me anymore. Mm-hmm. So that has faded. But because of him, you know, I carry on, help him out. And I want him to be the successful successor here. And I can live off the fruits then. Yeah.
Okay, I need to perhaps confess that all my life, music and electronics and audio engineering are my passions, you know. Mm. They're not my only passions, but they're things that I get excited about. Certainly music, in all, both making music and listening to music. But also I think of myself as a reasonably good amateur audio engineer. Mm. And therefore, coming into a place like this is exciting for me. Mm-hmm. Just to be in here. I mean, I will come in and just walk around. I don't know what your staff think I'm up to, but just to be in the atmosphere. Do you find this is common, that other people are a little bit like me in that? Is this still an industry which brings out some passion in people?
Yes, I do. Because there's, you know, I would say in the marketplace, it's mainly churches. Quite a lot of them in Worcester area. The last time we counted, it was nearly 400. It's not like your bigger churches, but small congregations, 40 to 80 people. You know, and all of them, when they come in, they take an instrument. And some of them praise and sing. And so, yeah, I think definitely that music is a passion. Music is a passion. I wouldn't say electronics, but electronics does intrigue me, but the thing is, it's changed a lot. It's changed from, like I said, like Anton is really a challenge for him to repair something. Nowadays, you just replace the whole board. If we order spares for a keyboard, you replace the whole board. So you open it up, replace the board. There's no challenge in that. That is on power amps, there's still a challenge. You don't replace, you replace components. You do practical fault finding. And what I'm so proud of, I mean, the little bit that I taught him, the rest he taught himself. I've sent him to college and he said, there's nothing they can teach me. I will teach them. So I said, okay, don't waste your time there.
What's the most popular instrument here that people come in and buy? Guitars?
Yes, I would say guitars. You know, 1 month it's guitars, the next month, strangely, it's keyboards, but the two of them would be, that's where I carry the largest variety. There's a few brass bands, they're not as popular. Drums are not that popular. But guitars, yes. and keyboards.
And in guitars, would it be electric guitars or acoustic guitars?
Acoustic electrics. Again, it's more the type of instrument that the guys use in churches. Like I said, there's private individuals as well. My customers, they buy just acoustic guitars. The electronic guitars are also... I've got a few customers, but not the most of the customers is the acoustic electrics.
Making music professionally used to require big investment in equipment, training, data processing, all sorts of other things. But today, anyone with two good quality microphones, and a laptop computer can actually make a record.
Yeah.
Now, they may not make such a good one as in the old days. What's your comment on this? How does it affect your business? Is it positive or is it negative for you? That music, making music is so much more accessible.
Yeah, I would say for now, I know about electronic music. To me, I can immediately identify it. I know when it's electronic guitar. I know when it's electronic drums. And I don't like it. I like an instrument. You know, if you look into the future, the newer generation, I think that is the thing for the future. So that is worrying. Yes, it is worrying. But there will always be a guy that wants to sit with a guitar, even an acoustic guitar. But it's worrying to me that you can actually make an complete album. My son-in-law did that, even and my daughter. They played all the instruments. They made everything. It's just the two of them, but it's a lot of different. So the electronic side on that is good, but I personally don't like it. I prefer a genuine instrument. That's more in my blood. I am a drummer myself, not professional. I can play guitar and keyboard. I haven't mastered the piano. If I go sit down, I will master it, but there's just not enough minutes in the day to do that. So I'm leaving everything, and I say when I retire I want to do this, when I retire I'm going to do that. So let's see how it goes.
What's your favorite music genre, Anton?
Now or in the past?
Now.
For now I would say it is gospel. You know, I don't know if you know what we call Buddha music, a concertina. Do you know a concertina?
No, I'm not familiar.
It's like an accordion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what a concertina is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that type of music was really what I loved as when we were married in the earlier days. And I never ever did I again ask for that to change. It just changed. So my favorite group is the Gaithers with... It's not just one group. I mean, Bill Gaither is one man, but he's got his homecoming videos and songs is all, and because they're so good, I do have an ear for music. So he is really good. The way that he sets up his whole homecoming series and everything is good. So yes, I do love his type of music. So I would say a country genre, but gospel is part of my blood.
Since this, I think, is not all that common for somebody who is running a music business also to be passionate about playing music. Maybe it is. So you're a little unusual in that. Do you have a favorite brand of guitar and also of keyboard?
Keyboard would be Yamaha. Also, again, when you listen to some of the sampling notes, you know, how does the piano sound on certain keyboards? It's terrible. And if you listen to the sampling of, well, Yamaha and Roland is the two, I would say, the two favorites in Worcester. So but for myself, it's Yamaha. In keyboards, in guitars, they also make very good guitars. There's actually too many. The if I go sit with a guitar and I feel the action on the guitar, I would say that determines. But it will be a branded name. Ibanez or Washburn is also one of my favorites. They make very good. George Washburn, I think it's in the 56, when he started off. He makes very well-built guitars. But unfortunately, everything changed when they started making instruments in China. There's different grade of factories there. You get the really cheapies, you know, that the other people sell. It was $399, but $399 has been gone. It's now $999. but the guitar that's really built in America, for instance, is not affordable for most of the people. It's too expensive. So if I have the time, I thought when I retire I'm going to go into electronics, but I'm thinking of going into building violins and guitars at my own pace, at my own time, with exotic woods, a really handmade guitars, and they're also very expensive, the handmade guitars, if you can master building a decent one. So yeah, but that will be my passion then. I'll branch out into other instruments as well, but I think I'll start off with guitars.
This next question is not specifically about Telefonics or your business here, but I'm very interested in your opinion. The biggest change in my life as far as music is concerned is when I was growing up, if I wanted to buy a record, I would go into a record store, maybe listen to a couple of tracks, and only if I really liked it could I afford to buy it. So I would buy it. And it was a big thing for me. I'd take it home and see if I still liked it. Nowadays, I never do that. I just go to Spotify and I listen to it. And I don't know how they pay their artists, but it seems to me that's an incredible change, which is not good for the artists. What's your opinion about that?
I think the artist it's himself would also get some sort of compensation. I think they do. So if you again look at the artists from overseas, yeah, you don't get the music for free. You'll get samples. You do get Spotify and you do get on Vivo. There's, I think, because some of them you can share, some of them you cannot share. You get some of the songs that they allow the people on YouTube to share. You get a lot. I don't buy any DVDs anymore.
Me neither.
Because everything that you want is on YouTube,
yeah,
on the Vivo channel or Spotify, and you can listen to it.
Hmm.
Some of them you can download. Some of them you can download illegally. So yeah, and I wasn't that fortunate when I grew up I grew up in a small town called Langsburg. I was born and bred there. There was no music store there. My father was the only guy with music instruments, and he played on every function that you could lay your hands on, because he was the only guy there. So I grew up with 8-track tapes, not records as such. Later on, when we got married, we've got a large variety of records, but I don't know if you're familiar with that 8-track tapes.
Yeah.
I grew up with that, and I've inherited some of them as well, and the 8-track players, and that's how I met my Jethro Tulls and Grand Funk and all of that in my younger days. It was on that 8-track tapes.
Okay, I can't resist asking you another very controversial question. There's a belief in many parts of the music industry that you're not really hearing the best quality recording on a CD. You really need to be going back to vinyl. I maintain that's pure psychology. I cannot tell the difference. But
yeah,
what do you think?
My ear neither cannot tell the difference. On vinyl, definitely not. Because there's also a lot of things that can make the record sound. I mean, to keep a vinyl intact with no hissing or clicking, not possible. But if you go into recording, it's a tape. They still used, some of the professional guys used
reel-to-reel tape.
Reel-to-reel tape, yeah.
Yeah.
They say that is still the best. But as far as I'm concerned, for the convenience, electronic way of recording stuff and putting that onto a CD or a DVD, if you use this again, high-quality DVDs, DVDs doesn't last forever. You do get them to deteriorate. I would think, I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that. I wouldn't really say that. A record, I would say, it's not better. Anton, first myself, and then he tried to revive some of your old records. Because nowadays you don't get any records that's not partially, you know, damaged or scratched or whatever. So to put that onto a CD for someone, you can take away a lot of the clicks and the scratches and the hissing, but you also lose some quality there as well, if you go that way. But it's still, you can still manage to make it sound better than... And then your stylus. If your stylus is a very cheap one, it's not, the best record will not sound that good. So I say normally with sound systems, you can have a very upmarket sound system and a poor mic. It's going to break down the whole thing about quality. Mm-hmm. You have to start off with, firstly, teach the guy mic technique. And once he's managed the mic technique and he goes from the mic to the speaker system, at the end of the day, that will give you good sound quality. Yeah.
This has been such fun for me talking to you about these things that I love to discuss with people. Thank you for your opinions. Thank you for telling me the story of Telephonics. Thank you, Anton Jansen von Rensburg. And thank you, Rina, for sitting in and smiling at the right places. And enjoy the broadcast. And as I've said to one or two others, in 10 years' time, listen to this again and see what your thoughts were back in 2019.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. It was our pleasure.
And please just keep everything going, at least while I'm in South Africa, because I need your store.
Yeah. No, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye for now.
Bye.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God.
Growing in Courage, Part 2. My name is Laurie Ann and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last broadcast, we journeyed through growing in courage. We're going to continue that journey. We found that true courage is a gift from God, but it is also developed as we choose to focus on our source, God. This is what David did when he confronted Goliath in a mighty way to defend God's honor to the Israelite army. Courage, strength, and joy are connected, as the joy of the Lord is our strength. But so too is courage. Courage goes beyond the ability to stand and not back down. It's also strength in the face of pain and grief, especially in the example of fighting an extended illness with great courage. The illness could be cancer, or many invisible disabilities that bring daily pain and discouragement. This is why courage to face the day is needed. Canadian prophet Darren Canning shared a great example of courage recently. He said, "One person in a war may seem like one piece of sand upon the seashore, but one person filled with courage can speak to the wildest waves and they will have to obey." Everyday courage is also shown in your life wherever you are. It means you don't have to be a soldier or a missionary to have courage. Everyday acts of courage include apologizing when you're wrong. It takes courage to admit that you're wrong, partly because you are confirming that someone else is right and therefore has the advantage over you. You also need courage to be yourself, especially in a culture that likes to imitate and succumb so often to peer pressure. Don't copy or compare yourselves with others. Pastor Sean Gaby often tells his congregation that comparison is a calling killer. You also need to take responsibility. You are where you are in life because of your past choices, although God's grace, mercy, and favor may have altered these circumstances. Keep your commitments and don't be a dropout. Let go of the past and don't let it hinder you anymore. Listen attentively to your mentors and grow. And there is still more. If you haven't listened to the Part 1 podcast, I invite you to do so. It's available on our Couples Western Cape website. Mark L. Trug shares 5 reasons to take courage. 1. We can take courage because God is with us by His Holy Spirit. Even in Joshua 1 verse 9 we hear, "Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We are not alone." Jesus also promised that He would not leave us alone. He left us the Holy Spirit, who is a wonderful companion. We can take courage because we aren't facing our challenges alone. God, the creator of the universe, the all-powerful one, is right here with us. He's not far off and uninvolved. When we don't know what to do, He does. He's never tired, never weary, and never takes a break. 2, God has a plan for us. An example of this was when Paul was encouraged by the Lord who spoke into his heart. He said these words in Acts 23, verse 11, "Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, you must testify also in Rome." God had a plan for Tony and me to come to South Africa, which was confirmed by dreams, visions, and prophetic words from many leaders. We are very thankful. And there is more after this assignment, although South Africa will always be in our hearts. We truly love it here. 3, we can take courage or take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus shares with his disciples and us in John 16, verse 33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus' words reminds us that we will have difficulties in life, and when we have tribulation for our faith, don't be surprised by it. The world hates Jesus, even though Jesus seems to be given a veneer of respect. But Jesus was radically courageous. He didn't care what the Pharisees and others thought of him. He just kept his eyes on the Father and was led by the Holy Spirit. And nothing can separate us from His love, even though it may outwardly seem that way. Keep looking up at Him. Or if you're walking on the water outside the boat, don't take your eyes off of Him. Forget the circumstances. They change like shifting shadows. They don't last. 4, we need to remember that nothing can separate us from God's love. Just read Romans 8 and see what I mean. The list Paul gives is amazing. No matter what you're going through, you can be assured that we aren't outside of God's love. Jesus will hold us in His love and never let go. It's the case with me as I let Him carry me through this cancer journey. He hasn't let me down yet, and He won't. 5 brings us to the promise that God Himself will strengthen us. The prophet Isaiah declared many promises of hope and strength. Isaiah 12 verse 2 shares, "See, God has come to save me. I will trust in Him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory." Isaiah also declared in Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." We don't have to summon up strength from within ourselves. This isn't just any inside. Pastor Mark Altrog says, "Don't worry if you don't have enough courage for tomorrow. God will give you all the strength you need for today. And He's got bags and bags of grace stored up for tomorrow, a whole warehouse of grace stored up for the future." I find that thought liberating. Brittany Bradshaw shares how God makes a way through what seems impossible at first. Earlier I mentioned the story of David and Goliath. Tony and I have had impossible situations on our mission trips, from travel blocks stopping us to getting to Sierra Leone, like the Iceland volcano grounding most transatlantic flights, to bureaucratic slowness dealing with many things in South Africa, to my illness. Tony and I actually persevered through the Sierra Leone situation when the Holy Spirit whispered to my heart that there was another way to get to Sierra Leone, and we took it with a professional travel agent. Brittany has her own story. She also leans on the promises mentioned earlier of Joshua's declaration of God's power over circumstances. She also reminds us to live out of His strength rather than our own, and calls on Psalm 40, verse 2. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. This is as much a promise as my favorite winter prayer from Jude 1, verse 24, to Him who will keep us from stumbling, and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and great joy. Being steadied and being kept from stumbling in many ways is very much a promise that I depend on. And then there is the time that God makes a way where there seems to be no way. Here's Brittany Bradshaw's story. She says, I thought my world was falling apart back when I was a new stay-at-home mom. Actually, though, my life was coming together. God gave me wisdom, experience, and the opportunity to keep moving forward in my life through faith, even though I didn't understand how I was going to overcome. Well, I'm here and alive to tell you that God was right. During that season, He impressed on my heart that even though I felt weak, I was not. I had Him on my side, and my weakness only served to display His strength. Since we are human, we all have areas where we are weak and where we are strong. In the areas where we are strong, we are because He is. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul reminds us that in the ways that we are weak, God's power is made perfect. In what ways of your life do you need to rely on God's strength? Missionary Tracy Evans uses the story of Gideon and his little band of 300 men. Because the small group trusted God, the large army that came against them was routed, not by their own might. They only brought lanterns and trumpets. No swords, no bows and arrows, no spears, no shields. Not one person in God's army was carrying a weapon. Like Moses before him, who was led to the battle for the release of the Hebrews in Egypt, Gideon was given the promise, I will be with you. An incredible bond of trust was formed between God and Gideon on the field of self-abandonment. Through Gideon's courageous choices and unyielding obedience, the impossible happened. A nation stepped back into its rightful place with God, and the people's inheritance was restored to them. Those five words, I will be with you, are our security when God invites us to face an impossible circumstance. You may be facing an impossible situation in your life right now, but whatever your circumstances, God wants to invite you to follow Him on this supernatural great adventure. The key to answering His invitation is letting go of everything you look to for security and simply trusting Jesus instead. What areas in your life do you need to rely on God's strength? If you can remember the book of Numbers, it features the leaders Joshua and Caleb. They were the only older leaders who originally had the faith, courage, and confidence in God to cross into the Promised Land, where there were some giants living there. Although the giants were bigger and stronger than the Israelites, Joshua and Caleb knew that they could take the land because God was with them. Numbers 13, verse 30 shares, And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. This was because they knew God directed them to do so. 10 of the other scouts hesitated due to their fear of the Anakite giants. Their eyes were on the giants and their own physical ability rather than God's ability. And here's a little aside. The giants were only one part of the Promised Land, not the whole thing. Perhaps you are looking at your own situation through your perspective. God wants you to come up higher to where He is so that you can view the things that make you feel small and weak. Instead, be strong and accept His strength in you. To move forward, it is best to face your deepest fears. Brittany Bradshaw shares how she faced hers. She says, Fear and I have definitely gone round and round over the last 2 years of my life. I can say that I am a victor over fear, but it took my being afraid and having to be placed in situations to face and reject it. I met fear the day my daughter was born. We had to have an emergency C-section, which was never part of the plan for me and Christopher. We had planned a natural birth at a birth center, not a surgical one, in a hospital. I hated hospitals because it reminded me of sickness and death. Even though I intellectually knew that people get healed and live there, the reputations hospitals had in my mind wasn't a good one. I will say that I wasn't ready to die on the operating table, but I felt like it. I mean, to be honest, up until that point, my pregnancy was healthy and extremely low risk. I didn't even understand how we got there. So if being in the hospital could happen to someone like me, surely death could happen too, right? And it wasn't just my life that I feared for, it was my daughter's life too. Her heart rate dropped with every contraction I had. The contractions that were supposed to bring her alive into the world were instead hurting her. I was afraid. But Brittany did face her fears and found strength in her weakest moment. She says, in that operating room, I trembled with fear. I smelt it in the air. It was overwhelming. But in my heart, I knew that Jesus was my Savior for a reason. He had defeated and conquered fear. So I thought on his name. Almost instantly, the fear in that room melted away. Jesus gave the victory over fear and death. He gave fear and death black eyes and knocked them out for good. I had Jesus. I still do. The scripture she clung to during that time was 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, which says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Other versions say self-control or discipline, but sound mind takes into account deeper aspects of not only the psyche, but the spirit. Brittany notes that fear is a spirit, but it is not one that God gives us. Therefore, we can be courageous and live above fear. This doesn't mean that we won't ever feel afraid. We will. This means that when we start to feel fear rise up, we can combat it with the truth of what God has given us, courage. Maybe the source of your weakness and fear isn't the same as mine. That's okay. It doesn't make your weakness and fear any less valid to God. God's word is the same for my situation as it is for yours, as it is for the next person. It is real and active and alive. Decide not to live in a place of weakness and fear. Take captive of the victim mentality and choose to know yourself as God knows you. Be strong and courageous. Tracy Evans, through the writing of the Valentins, says that after you accept God's invitation to trust Jesus instead, at first it may feel as though you are free-falling, but you can be sure that he will catch you before you hit the ground. The more you trust them, the more fun it gets. Before long, you will be like an excited child shouting to his or her father, "Do it again! Throw me up and catch me again!" This is the secret to the great adventure, blind faith and wild trust. Tracy Evans has many stories of how she developed amazing courage in the Philippines as a hostage, in the dumps among disease, in Mozambique in the midst of riots and gunfire, and in emergencies like the one that I read on an earlier radio show when Tracy helped over 18 wounded people on a remote South African roadside. She didn't even have medical supplies yet. She used her medical skills to tend the wounded, and God took care of the rest. The rest included major healings and a lady who was confirmed dead but came back to life. To read of these stories and the courage that came from radical obedience and trust, please go find a copy of Outrageous Courage, What God Can Do with Raw Obedience and Radical Faith. You may not be at that level of courage, but there are times when you can be, if and when you trust God. There are times when I've been emboldened and Tony has looked at me with amazement, but it's Holy Spirit and me responding with authority. I especially do this when there are children involved. I guess it's the mama or auntie in me. I've truly become a spiritual mom, and that in itself is a courageous thing. Something changes in you when you become responsible for someone else. It is when we sacrificially love someone that we can become a hero. Tracy Evans says, these days it seems as if the idea of sacrificing for a noble cause has fallen on hard times in Western culture. Just look at veterans and how they're treated. Heroism has gradually declined. It has been replaced by a self-centered, comfort-loving, virtuous culture. Simply put, people who do not know how to sacrifice do not know how to love. They will never know the depths of human fellowship the way that those who have sacrificed have learned. These include veterans. In the words of Christ, only he who lays his life down for his friends knows such great love. Just read John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. I know of many such people who were not afraid to be at the center of God's will for them. Tony and I are even shown respect when we go into Avian Park. Our car is known. We are known as friends. And the gangs and any who seek to harm leave us alone. We are even given smiles and greetings of Uncle Tony. Others, such as Arena and Changemakers, are greatly loved by the people in Rudaval. It's such a delight to be with people who aren't afraid to walk in their calling. They have great courage. It is also a courageous thing to stand up to cancer and not let it get you down. There is a reason why the support groups call those who battle cancer warriors, because it is a battle. Some days the cancer seems to get stronger, but not for long. Remember that God is still bigger than cancer. Thankfully, due to my faith, Jesus is carrying me through it. Even when I had a fall due to a walking stick accident and a loss of balance in a moment of chemo brain fog, there was a nurse who just happened to walk by. She even remembered me from my time in the local Mediclinic hospital. She got me off the sidewalk safely. I am thankful she was there at such a time. It reminds me that even if we do fall, God will be there to pick us up at just the right time. Psalm 91, verses 11 to 12, Passion Translation says, God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you to keep you from stumbling. While I did fall, I was cushioned slightly and rescued quickly. I believe that I will not fall again, and have learned that there is such a thing as a loss of balance due to chemotherapy, as well as the associated brain fog that comes with it. Then it will take courage for me to walk where I used to walk normally. It will be okay, since God will give me the courage that I need and the awareness of the surroundings, as well as His presence. Courage faces us forward. Fear has us look back. Which will you choose? Will you move forward with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for protecting me despite my fall. May you keep me from falling again. Thank you for those who are listening. Reach out to any who have been dealing with fear of their circumstances. And for those who are in a battle, you fight for us. Yes, we are warriors and you embolden us, but the battle is yours and you fight for us. Thank you that you do and that you have won. We don't have to whine like victims. We are victors, as my name says. Lorianne is victory through grace, and may you give us that victory through your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Couples Western Cape Radio.
Come on, with all we've got, we sing. Jesus. gonna get rowdy.
Good Grace by Hillsong United from their relatively new album, People. About a week ago, I had the good fortune to find myself at Worcester Primary School's Culture Night. This is when the children from various of the lower grades, mainly the lower grades, get to strut their stuff on the stage and sing, and members of the choir, and they play instruments and so on. And I had my recorder with me, as I normally would in such an opportunity, and I'd like to play you just some of the music that I heard. Most of it will be choral at the beginning, and there are one or two solo bits, spoken word, and so on. I hope you like it as much as I did. And after that, our formal part of our show will be done. And if we've got a little time, we'll play some soaking music at the end. This is Tony Koppel, and on behalf of Laurie and my wife, and with great thanks to Anton von Rensburg for his great contribution to tonight's show with the telephonics story, we'll say good night to you, and God bless.
Shine.
bestryd, kon hy dit een rol loslaan en een hoopie ontbyt. Jackson.